7 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Davis and I are talking about a subject today that I believe we need to address, I believe that we need to recognize, and face with the reality of where we are. Our recent caller, previous caller, talking about what he has found in relationship to the churches with the parking lots full, that's the seeker-friendly, come as you are, doesn't make any difference, don't know about that particular church. But I do know on a national plane, we're finding a growing number of what I call the pop-up preachers with the pop-up churches with the pop-up theology. In fact, let me challenge you with this. Does your church have a doctrinal statement that's published on their website? A statement of faith, what you believe, why you believe it, and what the scripture says. I'm finding, ladies and gentlemen, more and more of our modern churches do not publish a doctrinal statement, what we believe. I recently did a research on a particular denominational church that's got multiple branches, and there's not one word about a doctrinal statement or statement of faith. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about Jesus? Who is Jesus? What do you believe about the inerrancy of Scripture? What do you believe about sin and salvation? What do you believe about eternal security? What do you believe about the different theological doctrinal truths as found in the Word of God? Multitudes of churches today, in fact, I would say, and this is a far reach, but I would say the majority of churches do not. They're leaving the old brand, if you will, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., etc., and going to the indescript names that many of them are calling non-denominational. But once you have 2 that are non-denominational, you have a denomination. I'm always fascinated by that. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes, brother. Is that the ripple effect that we've seen from those liberals infiltrated in the church, the damage that they have created? You know, they started little by little. And now you're seeing in the pulpit that I question highly if they really have been called by God. Mm-hmm. Because they allow anything that appeals to their flesh. And that tells me that they are not set apart as the Lord called us to be different and to be holy, because He is holy. Mm-hmm. Not to condemn everybody else, but to take a stand and say, listen, I love you, brother, I love you the way you are. The Jesus loves you the way you are. But once you hear, and you hear our teaching and what we believe in, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to transform you from who you are to a new person. Because that's what the Bible says. That's one of the requirements to make it to heaven, John 3:3. You know what I mean? You need to be born to make it to the kingdom of heaven. You need to be born again. And many right. of these people, I wonder if they have been born again, brother, because maybe I was raised and I was teach the gospel as it is written in the Bible, that it is what it is, and I don't care who else says otherwise, if that's written, I believe it. But this generation, they don't want to be confrontational. We are all brothers and sisters, even the Catholics, they're going to make it to heaven. Heck no. I used to be a Catholic. I used to worship statues. And I used to ask Mary and all the saints. And guess what? I almost committed suicide because I didn't have the Holy Spirit and I was lost. But you take that stand. Oh, my God, you too, you're not loving. No. That's what the Bible says. You need, Amen. In order to make it to heaven, you need to be born again. You don't Amen. Hear these teachings anymore because you're too radical. Well, they should know the truth, and the truth should set them free. Mm-hmm. And if we don't speak truth in love, who will? And I think that's a problem that we have. Many people in the pulpits, that they don't have the calling, they see this as a profession.
That's right.
And they go, they get a degree, they pay whatever money it is. They're being indoctrinated by liberals also in those universities and colleges. That's and right. they come out with a title, and they're in the pulpits, and they allow homosexual marriage. Mm-hmm. They allow lesbians. They allow transgender in the pulpits, all the nonsense, and everything disguised under the name of open-minded. How about the Bible? How about what the Lord says? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the problem that we have nowadays, brother. We got a generation that they want to be loved by everybody. They don't want to sound like haters. But the gospel is confrontational. The gospel divides the family. Jesus said it. You know what I mean? Jesus said it himself. You know what I mean? And many people have forgotten about these teachings of the Bible. Not to be rude, No, the Lord called us to be set apart. That if they do crazy things, they smoke pot under the name or whatever, they get high, they drink, the Bible called us to be holy, to be set apart. You know what I mean? Yes. But people have forgotten about being consecrated to the Lord, to be different, to be set apart. You don't hear this anymore. So there's like a gray line that you don't know who's Christian and who's not. And now nowadays, everybody is a Christian. That's what I'm saying lately. I'm not a Christian. I'm a newborn evangelical. And they look at me like, huh? Yeah, because the Bible says that in order to make it to heaven, you need to be a newborn creature. And I am. Are you a newborn? So many of my friend Catholics, they go like, well, no, I'm not. So, well, you're not ready to go to heaven. But unfortunately, you know, that's, the Muslims, they are my brothers. I'm sorry, brother. They're not even my lay cousins. The Muslim, they believe in a different gospel. But under the name of love, everybody, the Muslims are my brother, the Catholics are my... No, they're not, based on what the Bible says. And I don't see why they don't take this time, brother. I think it's the lack of consecration to the Lord, that they don't have that spiritual spine to stand for what's truth. And I think that's what's lacking in the 21st century. They want to be loved by the world, and they don't want to be called names. Well, Jesus was called names. Jesus was killed for the truth. And we cannot even take it when they call us names. Come on, it's time to man up and woman up and be a true newborn Christian. That's my point, brother. And it's sad to say, but it has created a lot of damages. And this generation coming up in the churches, I don't know if they know what the Bible says. I don't know if they can quote the Bible, because all they have is entertainment, jumping like a kangaroo, but they don't know the basics or the basis of the Bible. I mean, it's sad, brother. That's why I like your program, and I love when you speak, and the other brothers, because they speak what the Bible says, and that's what we're lacking nowadays. And it's unfortunate, brother. I don't know what the future solution that you see, brother. Do you see any solution? Because those liberals, they are infiltrated everywhere, even in the Baptists.
Let me ask you a brief question, then I'll answer your question. Mm-hmm. With what you've just said, and you're spot on 100%, with what you've just articulated in relationship to the church and the need, would that theological bent, that theological position, your doctrinal position, your position on the church and what the church ought to be, do you see that as a drawing card or an inducement to fill the pews in the average church today?
Well, the issue that I have is I had a pastor in my community. He said, the Lord never called me to fill churches. The Lord called me to fill heaven with people that is equipped and they are set apart. And that's a great answer. My pastor used to say, the Lord called us to fill heaven.
And 100, absolutely.
If we got 2,000 in the church and 100 only are safe, it's on you. But as far as I'm concerned as a leader, I'm teaching you what the Bible requires to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And I think that's the point.
That's my exact point also. You'll never, in fact, if you stand on the word, preach the word, teach the word, without all of the frills, without all of the world being brought into the church for entertainment, you'll never build a large church. But God did not call me or you or any other believer to build a large church, but to preach the word, teach the word, stand on the truth of the word of God.
Yes.
That's
yes.
my position.
And let the Holy Spirit add those that are going to be saved. That's what the book of Acts said.
You know absolutely. What I
mean? And, absolutely. And Peter said, oh, Lord, Jesus, that word is too harsh. And what Jesus said? You want to leave too? Mm-hmm. So you, Peter, you want to follow me? I mean, it's sad to say, but the Lord, you know, we need to live for him. We need to be set apart. We need to be holy. Not because we are better than anybody else, because he's one of the requirements to make it to heaven. Brother, if you enlist, if somebody from the sea, from the street enlisted in the Marines or the Navy or the Army, they're going to get a haircut right away. They're going to go to boot camp, and they cannot do the thing that they used to do before they joined the armed forces. They cannot do whatever they want. But in the church, they wanna keep doing the same things, and they don't want to abide by the rules or the Bible. That's the big difference. Go work for the city. They give you a schedule. You need to be here at this time. You need to clock out for lunch at this time. You're going to have bread at this time. You're going to be home at 4. You cannot do whatever you want. The only place that people think that they can come and join and do nothing and do whatever they want is in church, because nobody has laid it out. I'm sorry, brother, but many people got it so wrong, so wrong, so wrong, so wrong. I mean, I got more things to say, but I guess I thank God for the leaders that the Lord placed in front of me to teach me. And people like you, brother, on the radio station.
Yes. There's a
God bless you, brother.
There's a lack of commitment. I'm finding, Jose, there's a lack of commitment on the part of multitudes today that say they're saved. A little thought that I'll leave with you, Jose. The scripture says we're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And as the body of Christ, picture the body gathering in a building on Sunday that we refer to as the church. We're the church. So the church is gathered to worship. We're scattered to witness. But if we're gathered and part of the body is not there, part of the body has decided to stay home and sip coffee, sitting on the side of the bed, watching some preacher on television, that's not worship. And yet we're finding today, Jose, the mindset is, I'm still worshiping, I'm watching it on television, I'm watching it online. There's nothing wrong with those good instruments of technology if you cannot come to worship. But God calls us to worship. And the challenge is in the scripture, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together.
Yes.
We need to be in church under the word. And I'm finding in these latter days, I'm finding there's a total, total rejection of coming together based on the authority of the scripture and the requirements of scripture. You touched on it so eloquently, you know, join the Navy, join the Army, the Air Force, etc. Immediately you're going to get a haircut. Immediately you're going to be given your track to run on, what you can do and what you can't do. But somehow, some way, a person says, I'm saved, and I can do whatever I want to. I can go to church if I want to. I can stay home if I want to. I can tithe if I want to. I can not tithe if I want to, et cetera, et cetera. That is contrary to the Word of God.
Yes. Pastor, with this going to finish. There was a service one time, and this pastor, with the announcements at the end of the service, an evangelist told me this. He made the announcements. Oh, don't forget, we're going to have this coming out. We're going to have this coming out. Oh, on the weekend, we're going to have fasting. And if you have to fast alcohol and smoking pot, remember, you need to fast. Start that so you can come and join us. The evangelist was beyond himself. He said, what? Inside the church.
Mm.
How crazy it is, brother. Anyway,
it's just, we got to pray for these people, and we got to stay strong, and we got to keep seeking the Lord, because the days we're living in, the last day, brother. God bless you. Thank you
Amen.
Very much. Have a blessed weekend.
God bless you, Jose. And Jose, if you'd like to have the book, Jesus Speaks to the Church, leave your name and address with Roger, and we'll put that in the mail to you. Love to have it as a blessing for you. And thank you so much for your call. Dr. Davis, how do you respond to what we have talked about and what you've heard thus far?
Well, you know, I think the brother hit the nail right on the head, basically. But I think we have a lot of work to do, you know, as committed pastors,
mm-hmm.
those whom God have ordained,
Amen.
Called, chosen, and entrusted to handle his word. The Bible tells us to watch as well as pray.
That's right.
And I think that's another one of the big problems in the church. We're not watching. The leader of the church, namely the pastor, mm-hmm. is not watching. Instead of making sure that the house of God is a place of worship, they have turned it into a place of merchandise.
That's right. Big business. Big business.
Let's not forget what happened in the scripture. See, God already got things in place for us. All we have to do is read the scriptures. That's our instruction book.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget what happened when they were buying and selling in the house of God. Jesus made a whip, and he whipped them out of the temple.
That's because he loved them.
Maybe he needs to whip the devil out of some of these today, right. And I think that's it. Some of the big problem right now.
That's right.
I mean, you know, this is some of the things that is very disheartening to me as a minister in the Church of God.
Yes.
To see how they place such important emphasis on other things and not on the word of God. Listen, so many times we can get so busy praying for other people and doing for other people till we forget to pray for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
My wife said this the other day, and she reminded me of when one of the mothers of the church was telling her brother, and he was a praying man back during that time, and she told him that you're wasting a lot of time praying for other people, but while you're doing that, make sure you don't forget to pray for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My bishop used to say that all the time. When you get finished praying for yourself, then pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to put one foot before the other in order to keep things in the proper context. And this is one of the biggest problems in the church, just like the brother just got finished saying. On Sundays, we have more Christians ready to go out and catch the sale at Walmart, and they make such a fool out of them,
mm-hmm.
because they tell you a big screen TV will be on sale starting at 8 o'clock in the morning for $50. Everybody's rushing down there to get that big screen TV for $50. Then when you come into the building, that's when they tell you we don't have but five of them
mm-hmm.
available.
And they're already gone.
Now there's 500 of you that's missed your services.
Mm-hmm.
All for the sake of a $50 television set.
Right.
Which is more important to you? Now, I'm looking at a scripture here where Christ spoke words of warning to those that were not expecting him to come. And he told them what was going to happen in the last days. Here's what he said. And this is in St. Luke chapter 14. I want to say, let me make sure, 12. I'm sorry. St. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. He said, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now, that's a stern word of warning to us not to let our hearts be focused on the wrong treasure.
Right.
Do you treasure God and the things of God more
than the world.
Than the things in the world.
Right.
Or have you let the world taken everything completely away from you concerning God?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the problem is today. Now, I said a long time ago, three of the greatest enemies beside the devil, we know that the devil is the greatest enemy, that the church has problems with, three of them, three things. That's complacency, that's compromise, and that's lukewarmness.
Right.
When we look at the people today, how they have fallen away from the faith, again, we see it in the scripture, that in the last days, there was going to be a great falling away. So, for us today, as ministers of the gospel, we might not be able to do something or anything about all of it, but we can certainly do something about some of it.
Yes.
Because there's always a faithful few that's always willing to put their shoulder to the wheel and do great works for God.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Dr. Davis, that I find that's so disconcerting from a pastor's standpoint is that we have so many pastors today that's willing to surrender the truth of the gospel in order to fill the pews, in order to great crowds. Jesus, speaking to the church at Ephesus, says, you've left your first love.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's sad.
So now the question is, when we look at that, by the way, that's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 and following. It's one of the seven churches that's spoken of in my book, Jesus Speaks to the Church. He says, you've left your first love. They had fallen away from the main focus. And may I say this, ladies and gentlemen, I believe in our churches today, if you ask the question, what does the church need? We need to turn back. The scripture says, Jesus speaking to the church, need to repent and return to your first love. We need to repent, change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. We need to stop as church, as churches, as believers. We need to stop looking for the wow. We need to stop looking for the great choirs. We need to stop looking for the programs of entertainment and find the church where the Word of God is taught verse by verse, chapter by chapter, what is called expository preaching. That goes back to the first love. The main focus ought to be Jesus Christ. Today our churches have theaters and bowling alleys and coffee shops and a host of other entertainment. But the central focus of preaching and teaching the Word of God is lost today, in my most humble opinion.
Amen. Amen.
We find today that is something that you do not find the average Christian saying that I'm looking for that in a church. I'm looking for a church where I can study the Word, learn the Word. When Jesus spoke to the church in warning, the church at Smyrna, they were afraid of what the world would say or do. Revelation 2:10. The church must not be fearful of what the world is going to say or do. We need to stand by faith, preaching and teaching the Word as pastors. And for Christians, let me urge you, be faithful in attendance. Be faithful in holding your pastor's hands up. Be faithful in praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. Be faithful in standing for the truth of the Word of God. The church at Pergamos, for example, Dr. Davis, was a popular church. It was the one that I called the popular church in my outline for the seven churches. They had all the frills. They had all the thrills. They were teaching false doctrine. But the church house was filled. They were drawing the crowds based on the thrills and the frills. Jesus said, repent, I'm going to remove your church. I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, across America, we're seeing the exponential increase on numbers of churches closing because we as Americans, we as American Christians, have failed to love the Lord and to preach the Word. All these other things are entertainments. Some of them, there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with it. But if it takes the focus off the preaching and the teaching of the Word. And so many pastors today are fearful that if they preach the truth of the Word, if they stand on thus saith the Word of God, that they're going to alienate a Democrat in the church.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, there has to be a dividing line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always been.
That's right.
I mean, if we go back and search the scriptures, again, let's make sure we keep it in context. God had it right the first time. He's right. Always got it right. The dividing line between people in the church and people out of church is that standard of living called holiness.
That's right.
Now, I don't care if you're a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, you still got to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're reading this Bible that we're preaching from today, this Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter, God said, he gave a commandment. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Amen.
Now, that's his standard that he set for you if you're going to be a worshiper of God.
Right.
Even when Christ confronted the woman at the well, and she started talking about who he were, and when he revealed himself to her, he said, you people worship, you don't even know what you worship.
Right.
You know not what. But salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship.
Mm-hmm.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, for that reason, if you're going to be a worshiper of God, there's some thing that you have to purge from your lifestyle. I was teaching this in class last night as we began to go through world religions and cults, and we spent a great amount of time studying on who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is, that's the Trinity,
right?
Who the church is, who Jesus Christ is personally,
mm-hmm.
the virgin birth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because if you say that you're saved, then it's your job to know all you need to know all about your God.
Right.
In other words, if you don't know key things concerning that, you will never be able to defend yourself against world religions and cults, because there are many false teachings going on out there.
And I'm amazed at the number of Christians that fall into that, and you touched on it so aptly. I'm amazed at the number of Christians that fall into that because they have a lack, L-A-C-K, a lack of knowledge of the Word of God.
Amen.
In fact, you go back to the scripture in Romans 1:16, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And yet we find no power, because the gospel, the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, is not being preached and taught today in most of our churches. We need to understand that there's a need for it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, that is the word dia, through the Word of God.
Amen.
Romans
Amen.
10 verses 14 through 17. But in the seven churches of Revelation, in my book, Jesus Speaks to the Church, the church at Philadelphia was the church that Jesus commanded. He didn't commend them for size. He didn't commend them for the wow programs. He didn't commend them for the wealth that they had, but for the preaching of the Word of God, the faithfulness of preaching the Word of God. Today, I believe that believers, and for our listeners that's listening, for believers, for Christians, we must realize that there's a call to be faithful.
Amen.
Faithful in service, faithful in ministry. If you're part of the body of Christ, fulfill that responsibility of being a part of the body of Christ. Study the Word, know the Word, continue in the Word, and stop bellyaching and complaining about the church needing people in it. You're the church.
Amen.
We're the church. Pastor Davis, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10.